Welcome to today's broadcast. I don't know, I wish I had something like that. I wish this was a lot more high tech. I'm at that age where I know enough about like computers, you know, cell phones. I mean, I have a Mac, I've got an iPhone X. I know enough about technology to be somewhat relevant, but I also, there's a lot I don't know that I should know, and I think it's holding me back in the great meme war of our generation. I'm not really making many memes. I mean, I downloaded this thing to, like, make memes on my phone, and, you know, they're kind of, they're pretty weak, I'll be honest. But, you know, I think, as something like this maybe grows a little bit, if it's going to grow, maybe it won't. I'm fine if it doesn't, too. Cathartic. It's very cathartic. Because that's one of the reasons why I want to do this, is because I spend a lot of my day reading and consuming news from different sides of the aisle and trying to formulate a coherent opinion, which is, it's difficult. Excuse me. It's difficult these days with all the spin you get from all kinds of different sides. And I think partly with some new... That's one of the things that I get. I guess it bothers me. Well, you know, let's welcome again to the another broadcast of the Glenn Keck Show. It's Glenn Keck here. Magadave is not with me again tonight, but he will be with me next time. I just wanted to say, kind of as a footnote, before I dive headlong in this, I appreciate, you know, the few people that are listening to this. I think it's cool that if anybody finds anything useful out of it. I know it's kind of rough. I think that as time goes on, that you know, we should hit our stride with this, and it should start sounding better. But I appreciate that, you know, there's some patience, and you know, I think we've said before kind of what we wanted to do was be able to digest the news and kind of spit it out for people who sort of have more to their lives, where they can sit with their face buried in their phone. I literally, my iPhone now, I download the new update and it tells you how much screen time. And I didn't ask for this. It's something I didn't ask for. I don't know why they gave it to me. But how much screen time per day. And I'm like at 8 hours right now. Now, I think it's skewed some because I'll leave YouTube on at different times when I'm listening to something. Like, I will, if I miss Rush during the afternoon, I'll listen to his upload on YouTube so I don't have to listen to any commercials. And I'm not actually looking at my phone at that time, but I am listening to it. So, but yeah, the idea is that we kind of take different relevant news or what's maybe relevant to us, and kind of digest it and give you a take on it, obviously, but also incorporate some of the elements of like Reddit and talk about that. I think we're going to start trying to get into more of that, where we're just kind of going through and finding some different things on Reddit. But I also wanted to say, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, the whole Keck thing, yeah, I don't know exactly where that originated. I think it was with the fellows over at 4chan. And I know that it's kind of become a sort of a rallying cry along with MAGA. It's just kind of an online, I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily a troll thing, but it's sort of a, you can identify people that are like-minded because of the Keck. But I'll be honest with you, Yeah, I'm an older guy. You know, I'm getting ready to turn 38 in a couple weeks. So, I don't purport to completely represent any of those groups. I definitely am not somebody who is involved in 4chan. I don't represent anybody from 4chan. I'm fairly new to Reddit, actually, too. So I don't purport. By saying Glenn Keck, I don't think anybody has ownership over that term. So I really don't think that anybody should get angry about it from that point. But I also just want to make it clear that I just kind of think it's sort of a catchy name, obviously a play off Sweater Vesta, Fat Boy, Glenn Beck, and I don't really respect him after this election, but I just thought it was kind of a funny name, I don't know if clever is the right word, but anyway, I just wanted to kind of put it out there of what exactly sort of my intentions are, because I didn't want somebody to listen to it and go, well, this guy's not a part of this and whatever. I'm not saying I am. I'm a part of the MAGA movement. I'm an American. I'm a Southerner. I think that's a perspective that people maybe don't necessarily get a whole lot of. People talk about the Midwest, even conservatives in, like, the, you know, you've got the New York conservatives and the conservatives. There's not a whole lot of conservatives in New York, but, you know, that's where, like, the Fox studios are. And then you've got Rush, and what he does is down in Florida. And I think Glenn Beck is, like, in Texas. And so there's different conservative outlets, and rightly so, that they're in these bigger city areas. But I think that one of the demographics that people don't really hear from is the Southern to, like, Midwestern, the people that have maybe not individually with our states, do we have a whole ton of electoral power, but as a group, as sort of the silent majority of the people in Middle America, we have more power than we're represented by. I think like I live in Arkansas, and I think we've got some great politicians from here. Arkansas is unique in that there is not a party structure here. Like, there's not, it's kind of a loose knit, you know, but there's not a Republican Party headquarters here. And I'm sure there is, but it's not like, you know, Ohio is a state that's always a swing state. It's fairly important in presidential elections. But, you know, can you name a whole lot of Ohio politicians for me? I know John Kasich, because he just ran for president. But really, I don't think there's been a president from Ohio. I may be wrong about that, but I don't think so. Whereas Arkansas, like a place like Ohio, they have a real set up party structure. So that if I'm a Republican and I want to run for office in Ohio, I will start working for the party and try to work my way up by being a servant of the party. I don't mean that in a negative way, but you have to be a party warrior and work your way up. In Arkansas, because there's not that structure there, that sort of built-in fundraising, built-in endorsements, things like that, you really have to be charismatic. It's a lot of grassroots stuff. And so you have some pretty important politicians that have come from Arkansas over the years. J. William Fulbright, even though he was, a racist and voted against civil rights, but he was Bill Clinton's mentor. He was a Democrat. He's sort of the one that I throw in the face of people that tell me that the party's flipped. The party's never flipped. That is a rebranding job by the Democrats to sort of distance themselves from their racist past. But they didn't pass civil rights. When people tell you the parties flip, you just, well, when? What year? Who were the politicians that flipped? Because, like, Albert Gore, which is Al Gore's dad, J. William Fulbright, these were Democratic senators that voted against civil rights and have never been considered Republicans. They've always been considered Democrats. But, you know, J. William Fulbright, John Paul Hammersmith was, during his time, was fairly important. But then obviously you have the Bill Clinton, you have the Clintons, Mike Huckabee, Tom Cotton has been a kind of a rock star here lately. So obviously Sarah Sanders is from Arkansas because her dad, Mike Huckabee, was the governor here for many years. So even though Arkansas is not viewed as a very important state, we do have a lot of relevant politicians. And I think we owe it to sort of the party structure. But that the viewpoint from people in the middle of the sort of this Bible Belt, what I would really call the biggest part of the silent majority, the people in the Midwest, the people that are away from the big cosmopolitan areas. But we are very politically active, and we have political opinions. And so that's what I want to try to put out here, is from that, where that might be different from some of the other outlets that you might hear from. You know, you have Gavin McInnes, who is a one of those New York conservatives. Ben Shapiro, who is in L.A. I think, you know, Steven Crowder is probably in L.A. I'm not sure about that, but you know, and then again, Rush is like in Florida, and Hannity, I think, is in New York. So there are some strong conservative voices, but you don't have a lot of middle America. And I'm sure that there's somebody that is out there that I'm not aware of. And so I'm sorry if I didn't mention them. I'm sure they're way bigger than I am. I get that I'm just a nobody that's making recordings on my phone. But we want to try to be entertaining, and I, you know, it's all trial and error here, and that's kind of what I'm doing. I listened to the podcast that I made last time. I felt like, I don't know, I want it to be funnier and more entertaining. I don't want to try to get too serious. I know that my opinion is only, you know, relative to what any of your opinions out there that are listening to this. And so I'm going to set up a Glenn Keck Twitter, or like an email or something like that, probably by the time that we do the next podcast, and get some feedback from the few of you out there. If you have some suggestions, if you have some brutally honest, like, trolling that you want to do to just, really break my confidence, that's fine. It's going to happen sooner or later, but this is, I was talking to Maggie Dave earlier, and we're going to really try to do more podcasting, because we feel like the more we do it, the better we get. It's one thing to have all these opinions in your head. It's another thing to start talking in, while you're recording, and to sort of have to just begin a train of thought and finish it. I mean, you know, and really finding out what is interesting about a podcast, about this podcast in particular. But, you know, I just want it to be, I want it to be enjoyable. So we're going to put out a way to get some feedback from the people out there, where, from, like, you know, those of you who are listening, and see what maybe some topics or formats or whatever that you're interested in. But getting into what I want to kind of talk about today, I think that we're at a turning point in politics. And it's pretty interesting what's going on, because everything that conservatives do right now is pretty much hampered by the media, because it's really in perception. And without, even if you don't want to, as a conservative, you sort of have to answer to this media machine that's connected to social media more and more. It's increasing. These are, you know, it's interesting to me. I think I was getting into this before I went into that intro explanation, but it's what I find interesting about people that criticize Fox News. They have this idea, even people that aren't necessarily completely full-on liberal, that are kind of middle-of-the-road people, they have this idea that Fox News is just liars. They have that idea because that's been kind of drilled into their head. Obama was real, he attacked Fox News all the time. It's actually kind of funny when Obama talks about Trump and being what he says about the media, because Obama was truly the enemy of the media. He spent so much money, more than any other president, I think more than a lot of other presidents combined, to fight freedom of information requests. He was one of the least transparent administrations. He jailed reporters. He spied on reporters, not to mention the fact that he spied on his political opponent, but and these people worshipped him because he kind of had a strategy of, if you're on my team, I'm going to embolden you and put you up on a pedestal, but if you're not on the team, then we're going to do whatever we can, whether it's direct insults, or whether it's working with the IRS, or whether it's having people spy on you. I mean, it's pretty appalling stuff what Obama did, and it gets projected onto Trump, because we know by now that's what Democrats do. They project what they do onto Trump and onto Republicans. But people talk about Fox News being, you know, well, they just lie all the time. Well, no, I mean, they're just the only conservative outlet out there as far as mainstream news. What the hell do you expect them to do? I mean, if you're a liberal, you could literally watch CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, The Daily Show, any freaking talk show, whatever. You have so many options of people that are all saying the same thing. You could flip it around and you'd never miss a beat. It's all the same message. And then the one lone conservative voice out there, Fox, but just because they're speaking to their audience. But yeah, then all of a sudden, what, you know, they're dishonest. I think that Fox News puts a conservative spin for financial reasons. You know, they are, to a certain extent, in the entertainment business. There's not anybody anymore that does just straight news. There's no market for it. There's too much happening all through the day and during the day. And so, you know, somebody like Tucker Carlson has to be entertaining. Somebody like Sean Hannity has to be entertaining to stay relevant. And, you know, their ratings show that that's what people enjoy. But I just think it's so funny, because I think that CNN, and obviously I'm biased, okay, well, I'm not going to hide that, but I think if you look at it without, you know, taking the blinders off, I think that CNN is not just trying to appeal to entertainment. I think they're part of a propaganda machine. I think that CNN is trying to deceive people purposefully. I don't think that they're just trying to, it's like Sean Hannity says, he's an entertainer. He's not a journalist. He's an entertainer that, like, sometimes does the news. He does a lot of different things. But if you tried to say that kind of stuff to, like, Anderson Cooper or Brian Stelter, God forbid, they take themselves so damn seriously. It's ridiculous. And I think that CNN tries to spread propaganda because I think they're all really ardent leftists. And, you know, maybe Fox News during Obama's administration, maybe they were trying to, spread a certain narrative. And maybe the reason CNN is doing it now is because the Democrats are out of power and they're all pretty desperate. I don't know. I took a time off during Obama's administration from being political because it was a tough time to be a Republican. I didn't just stop consuming media, but I had a lot of different things going on in my life. I was touring with the band. Politics just wasn't that important. Now that I have a family, now that I am have some different priorities, politics and what's going on, current events, are more important to me now. And so I think that's another reason why I look for an outlet to reach people, is because I'm an entertainer. I come from that background. I've done some, you know, I've done a few different things as far as entertainment goes. And so I think that I'm always kind of looking for a way to get out there and try to be entertaining. So, but you look at the media and you know, I think Fox News, because I watch Fox News and I get it, they're giving me what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the news with a conservative slant because I hate just the constant Trump bash fest that's going on all over the news. But what I was getting at starting off was we're at a pivotable. I'll start making up words. That might be cool to do that. If I'm like do like Trailer Park Boys and I just start making up my own words with things, maybe not. Maybe that's maybe I shouldn't think about that while I'm doing the actual podcast. But we're at a pivotal time in history because the Democrats are like, I don't know if you've ever, you know, I have a background, not a whole lot of years, but I did, after I graduated college, I was teaching a little bit. I don't know if you've ever been in a classroom around students, and it doesn't have to be little kids. It can be high school age kids or middle school age kids, whatever. We're talking about children in like a school setting. If you have one or two kids that start acting up and you nip it in the bud, then it's, you know, it'll stop and you'll have to periodically. It's on a different scale, but Victor Davis Hanson talks about deterrence. Now, he's talking about on a global scale, but it's the same kind of idea. You have to install deterrence so that there's no incentive, or at least the incentives aren't worth it for like a kid to act up. So if you come down pretty hard on anybody who's in your class cutting up, people will tend to take your class very seriously. If you let, you know, if you let people get away with things, if you let the students run the classroom, then you can have some really chaotic times, and it just ends up getting worse and worse, and it gets to a point where the bottom falls out and you just end up blowing your top, and it gets ugly. Because at the end of the day, you're the adult there and they're the kids. And though it may be easier sometimes because you want them to like you, or you don't want to be seen as the prick who takes himself too seriously for whatever. You want to make it fun and all this. I think to a certain extent, now we had talked last time, or I had talked last time, everybody else had just listened, about the fact that the Democrat Party doesn't have a whole lot of leadership, that that there's a lot of people out there sort of doing, but there's nobody at the top really sort of giving out marching orders that are part of a coherent plan. So I think it's just the opposite in the Republican Party. I think that, and this Kavanaugh thing, I think, broke the seal, which is why I think it's very important. But you had a lot of people in the Republican Party that were almost too, you know, they felt like they were the adults, and they were almost above mixing it up and trying to engage with a lot of these younger mobs. And I think that what needs to happen is like what Lindsey Graham did, what Mitch McConnell did. Hey, you may be able to whine and complain really loudly, and you may think that you can intimidate and push people around, but at the end of the day, this is what we're going to do. Mitch McConnell called his shot during the Kavanaugh things. We're going to vote for this. We're going to push him through. That's what's going to happen next. You can whine and bitch and moan, and you can throw yourself against doors, and you can make Brett Kavanaugh the embodiment of every bad thing that's happened to you, even though he's not. You can do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, this is what's going to happen. Lindsey Graham stood up, and he literally called the Democrats on their bullcrap. I'm still debating on whether or not I'm going to cuss. I feel like maybe cuss a little bit, like, in that case, you know, maybe say bullshit, but I don't know. We'll see. This will be part of the feedback thing. Maybe we're all adults here. Maybe not. I don't know. Well, not that cussing or not cussing is anything to do with whether or not you're adult. I know plenty of adults that just don't appreciate the language. So I think if you can use it responsibly. But, you know, we'll see. But I think the mistake that the Republicans are potentially going to make is that they're going to stop short, right? President Trump did it after he, and him of all people, did it after the election when he decided he wasn't going to follow through with what he told Hillary Clinton she was going to be in jail. That was his thing. We're going to come after you. We're going to investigate you. You're going to be in jail. And then after the election, it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, of course we said that, but we won, so we're going to be sort of magnanimous. We're not going to pursue. Well, if Hillary had won, you can bet your butt that they would have still gone after Trump. We just wouldn't have had any of the transparency with what the FBI were already doing. That stuff was already setting up. And maybe they would have let it slide. Probably not. They're vengeful people. These Democrats are already talking about impeaching Kavanaugh, which I don't think they can do. It seems like Alan Dershowitz said that they can't impeach him for things that happened before he was a Supreme Court justice. He would have to do something on the bench would be the only way that they could impeach him. But, you know, Jerry Nadler, which I think that dude's a tool bag. There's so many of these people that I just, as a human being, I hate their guts and wish all of the worst for them. Jerry Nadler, you know, he is somebody who, if you call his congressional office, the answer machine picks up and then it tells you that the messages are full. That, to me, that shows you the gutless. They're willing to go out there and talk in front of cameras. They're not willing to hear from their own constituent. Now, I'm not one of his constituents, but if I was, I still wouldn't be able to get through. And if you're going to go out there and be a national figure, then you better be ready to hear from it, because that's what you're there to do, represent the people. You're not there to be a freaking rock star first. Now, that can happen. I think Lindsey Graham showed us that you can represent your constituents and be a rock star, but the representation has to come first. They're talking about all this stuff they're going to do if they get power in the midterms. God help us if they do. But I don't think that these guys should just, oh, well, you know, of course, Michael Avenatti, we all know he lied. Maybe this Ramirez lady lied, and maybe Dr. Ford lied. You know, the story came out that Blasey Ford's FBI friend that was there with it. She wrote her testimony, which she said she had no help writing it. Turns out she did have help. She lied about so many things that nobody's going to call her on. And this FBI friend of hers that was there, she wrote the testimony at her house. She was also there during her actually giving the testimony before Congress. Apparently she was calling Leland Kaiser, the other friend that was supposed to have been there, and trying to get her, trying to intimidate her into changing her story to the FBI that, I do remember, and I was there, and that did happen. The Wall Street Journal broke the story that she was trying to intimidate her. Nobody cares. And I mean, I think a bunch of people care, but none of the people that can do anything about it are doing anything about it. And I think that's a mistake, because these Democrats, they're not just going to live and let live anymore. They're not just going to take their lumps and move on to the next thing. They're insane people. And so I think that we need to install some major deterrents that the next time somebody tries to do this, because right now what happened was they went low, and hopefully they pay for it in the midterms. And that in itself is a deterrent. But right now, as the way it stands, you know, they almost accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. They almost kept Kavanaugh off the bench. Lisa Murkowski admitted that Brett Kavanaugh probably didn't do it. She just didn't think he was the right man at the right time. And which is just giving in to sort of the cowardice. But she's basically saying she knows that this whole thing was a ruse. She knows that that what they did to Kavanaugh was unfair. But he's just so unpopular with them that they shouldn't nominate him. It's ridiculous. But I think that the Republicans need to follow through with these things. I think they need to go ahead and go after Blasey Ford. I think they need to go after the Ramirez lady. I think they definitely need to go after this Swetnick piece of trash and Michael Avenatti. And they need to charge these people with something, because as much as Dr. Ford couldn't prove a damn thing she was saying, I think we can pretty much easily prove that she lied about a lot of things to Congress. Either her lawyers lied or she lied. But somebody needs to get in trouble so that the next one doesn't say, well, you know, she made $1 million. She's probably going to have some of the same benefits that Anita Hill had, which is like a movie made about her, and she can have a book deal and yada, yada, yada. It's not over for her. She's going to continue to benefit from this. So the next person that comes forward, well, even if you don't accomplish it, it's still a benefit to you. So there needs to be deterrence. The Republicans need to go scorched earth on these mother flippers. They need to, when they come and try this lowball crap, we need to make them regret ever being willing to go so low. We're at a pivotal time in our country with the midterms coming up. Normal, everyday American people have to get together, and they have to decide that if the Democrat Party is going to be represented by lunatics, they can't have power. And there's a he's supposedly a conservative. These guys like Joe Scarborough and these different Bill Kristol and these so-called conservatives that want you to vote Democrat because they just hate Trump so much. These people are just irrelevant, and they want to be relevant again. They had their hands in the control of the Republican Party for years. And that was a Republican Party that we didn't like. That was the gutless Republican Party. that got trampled on all the time, made all kinds of compromises with Obama. These are establishment hacks. They're coming out and they're saying, we need to vote Democrat to take the power away from Trump. They would rather put power in the hands of actual fascist, insane people because they're not involved in what Trump is doing. They can't bring themselves to get on board with it, to admit that they were wrong from the beginning. And these people are traitors, okay? They don't belong back in the party. They need to, if they're going to vote Democrat, you need to be Democrat. But I don't want to get off on a tangent about that. We need to not be distracted by foolish people. We need to keep our eye on the prize here. And I think that the Kavanaugh thing has energized the base, but we got like another month left, folks. There's going to be other things that happen. I think that some of the energy is going to die down. And in my gut, I don't think the Democrats have a great plan, but I think they're going to continue to take some stabs at different ways to try to derail the midterms, because it's desperation now. When you hear them talk on MSNBC and talk about the thousand-year Reich, they're insane. It's so disrespectful. Can you imagine actually being somebody who had to live through Nazi Germany? Like, imagine that you're a Holocaust survivor. I know that you'd be pretty old, but you know, maybe you're not a direct survivor. Maybe like your mother was a Holocaust survivor, and you heard about all the terrible things that they went through, and then you turn on MSNBC and you got some cuck on there saying that Trump is like Hitler. It has to just be like a spit in the face. It's just people who have no idea what they're talking about, but they believe it. Maybe it's not important that they're wrong. Maybe it's important that they believe it. And those are not people that you can talk to and reason with. They've lost their grip on reason and reality. They have to be defeated. They have to be beaten. You know, if Soros is going to pay protesters to come out, we need to go meet them. Not as paid protesters, but as patriots. There needs to be an organization of people in the Republican Party that are ready to get active, that are ready to do things within the system. But when we are crossed, you know that flag a lot of people have, the don't tread on me? Yeah, that's what we need to bring to life, is the idea that don't you F with us. Don't try this lowball crap. Don't try to undercut. Don't try to lie. Don't try to, you know, any of that crap. Because if you do, we're going to pursue you doggedly until there's nothing left. We're at a pivotal time in this country where we need to evaluate what's important to us, because what's important to us is going to be worth fighting for. I know a lot of people, as far as abortion's concerned, it's abortion, the idea has gotten so far into the mainstream that a lot of people, even Republicans, feel like that it's somehow a women's right issue. That's one of the biggest perversions out there, that abortion is a women's right issue. You know, have you ever thought, why is it that if as a father, if I were to leave my kids, if I were to just take off, say, I'm not ready for this, peace, I'd be a deadbeat dad, right? I'd be what's wrong with America. But my kids would still be alive. But, you know, if my wife were to opt out with abortion and say, I'm not ready for this, peace, well, then they have to literally rip my children limb from limb out of her uterus. If you've seen a picture of what a baby looks like at 8 weeks, that's a baby. My goodness. it's unmistakable. Ben Shapiro made a pretty good point the other day of like, if we found a human embryo on Mars, they would be putting in the scientific journals that they found human life. They wouldn't say, well, we just found a cluster of cells that's part of a woman's body. We need to find out what's important, because there's going to be some heavy battles coming up for us to really win the war. It's fun to win these little battles, and like Trump is, boxing left, right, and he's leading it on, and we let him take the shots, but he's not going to be there for a real long time. Even if, and I believe he will get a second turn, even if he gets a second term, you know, he's only going to be there for so long. We are the people who have to dedicate our lives to it and not have to be told what to do. We have to find out what's important. We have to start fighting for it now. We have to meet the people that are trying to take over America street by street. We have to meet them in the streets. They have videos of Antifa people in Portland that just take over sections of the town and are literally out there directing traffic. And if you ignore their traffic instructions, they like chase you down and mob your car. Are you kidding me? This is America. The mayor's like Washington, like it's with the mayor's blessing. They should send the freaking National Guard in there. I mean, are you kidding me? We're letting these people get away with too much. It's what the Allied forces did with Hitler. They kept letting him be appeased until it grew into a problem where he was real close to taking over the freaking world. And these people are dead set on taking this country by any means necessary. For a lot of us, the fight is not in our streets, not anywhere near. I could get in my car and I could drive for like 10 hours and I wouldn't be really anywhere where there's something like this going on. But it will be. And especially by the time my kids are starting to get older, they've infected all kinds of parts of academia, even public schools. I saw something the other day where they're taking like Irish school kids and they take them to mosques and they have to sit there and listen to these, I don't know what the leader of a mosque is, but they're listening to these, what is it, imam or whatever, iwam. I don't know. I know I'm probably saying that wrong, but have to listen to them talk about the, you know, Muslim religion. Are they taking them to churches? Are they taking them to Buddhist temples? What in the world is going on? And I know that's not in America, but would you be surprised if you heard a story that they were taking little kids from, you know, a New York or an LA classroom and taking them to a mosque or a San Francisco or whatever? Would it really be that surprising if in Seattle they were taking kids to mosques? And, it's not to say that kids shouldn't be exposed to religion. But you're exposed to religion through your families, because your families, look, if your parents are Christian and you don't want to be Christian, there's a freedom of religion thing. But I don't think that the schools need to get involved in there. That's not part of education. Okay, so maybe you wouldn't learn about Islam from your parents, but man, there's the internet out there. I like to think that when my kids get older and old enough, that if they, you know, decide that they don't want to be Christians, that we'll be able to talk about it like adults, and I'll be able to help them, you know, research and look in on what, you know, these other religions or whatever they want to think. But it's a personal, private family member. They definitely are getting, there's way too much influence that these teachers are having on them. And is like, I don't know, we've seen, there's videos of these teachers are just fucking wackos. Yep, sorry. But they are. Anyway, I feel like I'm rambling now, and that's what I don't want to do. I don't want to just start ranting and going off in 50 different ways. I want this show to be coherent. Maga Dave is going to be back on Wednesday. We're going to get together and do another podcast. And so I'm just going to try to, you know, I get it. I know that it's not always like tonight. I'm not real poignant. I think it's going to get better. And I really appreciate, you know, those of you that are out there listening. And I think we're just going to continue to try to grow and learn from our mistakes and get better. And I listen to all these podcasts. It's painful. I don't want to, but I go back and listen to these podcasts, and there's sometimes I just want to delete and I just don't want to put it out there. But at the same time, I think it's a learning process. And I think that everybody starts off kind of rough and gets better. So that's what I'm going to try to do. I think Wednesday, what we'll try to do is we'll try to get into Reddit and talking about some more Reddit stuff. I'll try to keep it a little bit more on some current issues. I know the last couple, I'm sort of pontificating on the state of the country. But I think it's important for people out there that are listening to know, like, where I'm coming from, you know, where Dave and I are coming from. And so, you know, this won't be like an every time will I sit and talk about all the things I think of what's wrong about in America and what's going on with America. I don't think that's really compelling to just go on and on for 45 minutes to an hour about what you think about the country. So I'm going to try to get away from doing that from here on out. But I think at least for the people that are out there that are listening to this or that are interested in it all, or at least just humoring us right now, I think it's useful information for you to have, at least to know where we're coming from, where we stand on particular issues. And I do want to open it up where there's some feedback, where you guys can give me your opinion, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the things I'm saying. I'm always, that's what I think we've really gotten away from in this country is discussion. And I know that I don't know everything. I know that my opinions on things, it's a lot more difficult to voice a coherent version of what's in your head. So I know there's times I in my head, I think I am like making a lot of sense. And then I go back and listen to it. I'm like, what the hell am I talking about? So, but I do want to open it up and have some more lines where, ways for you to get feedback and get into the discussion, and we'll work on getting all that together. But again, thank you so much for listening to the Glenn Keck Show. I'm Glenn Keck signing off. And like Mark Dye says at the end of his thing, and I will see you soon.